Penguin Random House Audio presents Languishing. How to Feel Alive Again in a World That Wears Us Down by Corey Keyes. Read for you by Landon Woodson. Introduction. Running on Empty. As a quiet, curious teenager growing up in a one-stop sign town in northern Wisconsin, I would tune my FM radio to listen to the King Biscuit Flower Hour on Sunday evenings. Staring at a water stain on the ceiling one night, I heard the song that would become my high school anthem, Running on Empty by Jackson Browne. He didn't use the words lonely, sad, or anxious, but he expressed the feeling, so familiar to me, of dully going through the motions of a life that seemed increasingly drained of color. I don't know where I'm running now. I'm just running on. Running on, running on empty. Running on blind. Pinned to my bed, I felt profoundly seen for perhaps the first time in my life. There I was, 16 years old, about to learn how to drive. Outwardly, things were going surprisingly well after a complicated childhood. My grades were strong. I had a loving relationship with my grandparents, with whom I now lived. Yet I couldn't shake the sense that something was off. Whether I'd had a good day or a bad day, after school, my chest felt like a blown-up balloon, pressurized, yet entirely empty of substance. If this sounds like depression, I can assure you that it wasn't, though I would struggle with depression later in life. I wasn't hopelessly sad. I didn't have trouble getting out of bed in the morning. It was more like I was on autopilot, compelled to keep doing, to throw myself at activity after activity, leaving little room for the thoughts that rose up when I was alone with myself. This feeling of restless emptiness eclipsed all aspects of my otherwise peaceful life. As a kid, it was disorienting, to say the least. The specter of languishing continued to haunt me as I grew up, following me into adulthood, if not the feeling, than the fear of it returning. Ultimately, it led me to become a professor of sociology and embark on a long journey to understand just what this experience of running on empty was all about, and to find out whether it haunted other people too. The Power of a Name. About a year into the global COVID pandemic, Adam Grant, an organizational psychologist and best-selling author, wrote a New York Times article describing the very term I'd been quietly studying for years. His piece was called, There's a Name for the Blah You're Feeling. It's called Languishing. It began. At first, I didn't recognize the symptoms that we all had in common. Friends mentioned that they were having trouble concentrating. Colleagues reported that even with vaccines on the horizon, they weren't excited about 2021. A family member was staying up late to watch National Treasure again, even though she knows the movie by heart. And instead of bouncing out of bed at 6 a.m., I was lying there until 7, playing words with friends. For him and many others, languishing crept in after a period of extreme stress, grief, or loneliness, a sense of low-grade mental weariness that can be easy to dismiss, especially since indifference is one of its symptoms. Languishing often sets in slowly and imperceptibly, and then suddenly, you're engulfed in it. The simple question, how are you, can feel like an unwelcome pop quiz, leaving you casting about for a socially acceptable response, not quite knowing the answer yourself. Grant's piece went viral, becoming the most widely read New York Times article of the year. Clearly, there was a deep need for vocabulary to describe a struggle that millions of people, teenagers, frontline workers, parents, overworked professionals in all fields, and those grieving the loss of loved ones were experiencing, but found hard to put into words. Celebrities and royals alike tweeted about having bouts of languishing. Trevor Noah opened up about his own experience with languishing at a sold-out show in Madison Square Garden. The crowd of 20,000 grew pin-drop silent. Are you languishing? Do you find yourself nodding your head in recognition at the symptoms on this list? You feel emotionally flattened. It's hard to muster up excitement for events and milestones on the horizon. A sense of inevitability has washed over you. Your life circumstances seem increasingly dictated by external forces. You find yourself procrastinating on tasks at work and in your personal life as a "why try anyway" attitude sets in. More and more things strike you as irrelevant, superficial, or boring. You have the constant feeling of unease that you're missing something that will make your life feel complete again, but you can't figure out what it is. You feel disconnected from your own community and/or a greater purpose or cause. Your job once gave you a sense of meaning, or at least accomplishment, but it is starting to seem pointless in the grand scheme of things. You regularly experience brain fog. For example, standing in the shower and trying to remember whether you've washed your hair yet. Small setbacks that you might once have weathered fairly easily leave you feeling defeated. You feel restless, even rootless. You find yourself being convinced, or sometimes steamrolled, by people with strong opinions because you're increasingly unsure of your own. It's hard to find the motivation to reach out to friends and family and to maintain relationships that were once important to you. You've been finding it more difficult to feel close to people. You don't have the ability to see and understand your strengths and weaknesses. You cannot figure out where you're doing well and what you should think about improving on. Your sense of self-worth is flickering or plummeting. Shortly, you'll have the chance to take a more formal assessment. But if more than a few of these experiences ring true for you or someone you love, this book will help you understand why and what to do about it when you're stuck in a cycle you can't break. What languishing isn't. Languishing might sound similar to depression, and both are characterized by a loss of interest in life, but there are crucial differences between the two. Depression is marked by a persistent sense of hopelessness or sadness every day or almost every day for at least 2 straight weeks, often accompanied by crying spells, sleeping too much or too little, and having suicidal thoughts. Yet millions of people are languishing who don't meet those criteria. You can be devoid of a sense of purpose in life and not have any symptoms of depression. Languishers are also more likely to feel out of control of their lives, uncertain about what they want from the future, and paralyzed in the face of decisions, large and small. What about burnout? The word you might reach for after sending that last email at 12:01 a.m., watching your toddler erupt in yet another tantrum, or swiping on dating apps until it feels like you have robot fingers. Burnout might capture the prevailing mood of a generation, or a planet, although technically speaking, it's not a mental health condition, but an occupational phenomenon that describes a mismatch between your workload and the resources you have to do it, which allows chronic stress to build up. The two conditions can feel similar at times, but burnout is a much narrower term. That said, burnout can leave you so demoralized that languishing takes hold. When you're constantly stretched too thin by work, it's hard to find joy or meaning in the activities that you once found greatly fulfilling. A parent's nighttime reading of Where the Wild Things Are to their 4-year-old, perhaps even performing a full suite of character voices to their kid's delight, can be disrupted by intrusive thoughts about a never-ending to-do list, making it all but impossible to feel present. The rush of anticipation a graphic designer once felt at seeing their advertising campaigns go live might feel like a distant memory when they're tied to their computer late into the night, churning out repetitive banner designs for a demanding client. Our society is fond of admonishing us to take personal responsibility for our actions. If we're not happy, we should get up earlier, exercise more, get more sleep. But sociologists like me are more interested in understanding how systems can fail us than in placing all the blame on individuals. If we're feeling record levels of stress, anxiety, burnout, and of course, languishing, how can it be only your fault? In fact, it is so often the system itself that robs us of our agency to create better lives for ourselves and even to act in ways that line up with our values and identities. One young doctor recognized that he was being demoralized. the demands being
sample complete. Ready to continue?